Hey guys, welcome to the Hunter's Quest podcast. It's your host Hunter McWaters, and I'm here with Trent Fisher from Born and Raised Outdoors. How you doing, sir?
Good, man. Good. It's good to be here. Super good to be here.
Yeah, man. We connected a couple weeks ago through, I guess it was Cody at Train to Hunt. And we had a little conversation. So, and of course, I've known about Born and Raised for a while, just being in the space, and been looking forward to talking to you for a while. So thanks for coming on, dude.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Anytime I get a chance to chat with someone about hunting or business or whatever, I try to jump at that every single time. So
yeah, well, I like it too, because it's kind of weird. Like I'm in this kind of specific like niche of Western hunting, but I live out east, and so a lot of my friends, you know, live very far away. I don't have a whole lot of like, you know, buddies around me that kind of do what I do. So, but it's cool to have a network of friends and colleagues and stuff out west too. So I like talking this stuff too, man.
That's what we get, a lot of emails and stuff like that, just from a lot of people back east. Like, I think that's a big, growing up out west and everything, I live in Oregon. I live on the coast of Oregon. So kind of rainforest, okay. Mountains, just super damp and wet here, but I'm pretty close to the Rocky Mountains too. So I can.
Which part of Oregon?
I live right on the coast of Oregon. So I live right out, kind of Coos Bay.
Okay. So I did my first hunt ever and went for my first time ever to Oregon this year. Awesome, like beautiful state, man. And I've been meeting a lot of Oregon people lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's cool, man. I love Oregon.
Yeah. No, minus like Portland area and stuff like that. Oregon is a cool place.
Well, I stayed away from that stuff. I was I was with the real good folk of Oregon.
There you go. Yeah. We're about 4.5-5 hours from Portland, and we don't go around there. So, but no, that's a big question I get, man. It's like, hey, I want to go out west, you know, I want to go hunt elk or whatever, but just growing up here, like the Rocky Mountains and everything and stuff like that, I can see how it could be intimidating. I mean, I've been back there a couple times, doing some different hunts. And man, it is flat. A lot of the country back east, flat. There's nothing there. There's just like, and then you come out to these giant mountains and stuff like that. So, I mean, I can see that and everything. And so I think that's,
well, there's not nothing there, but there's just no topography there.
There's very little topography where I was.
Oh, that's where I grew up, man. I grew up on a salt marsh. Like, I grew up on a flat pancake, but you know, I was more in the marshes and wetlands and fishing and duck hunting and all that stuff, and then whitetail. But yeah, it's a different ball game out there for sure.
When I was over there, they're like, let's go climb that mountain right there, and I'm thinking, that's a hill. Okay, that's just a hill, and it's not too awful steep.
That is true.
It's
definitely different, man. So that's kind of part of what I want to do with the podcast and the show is to show guys, though, because there's nothing special about me. Like, I take it very seriously and stuff like that, because now it's like my job, but at the same time, like, I started off just like anybody else, you know, with an antelope hunt, and kind of my first trip was, you know, I had a buddy that took me that knew a lot about Western hunting and stuff like that. But I'm still learning so much, man. The biggest thing that I feel like I'm at a disadvantage with right now is that I feel like guys that grew up in the mountains and mountain hunting have this ability to kind of see topography in their head and move around it efficiently and effectively. Mm-hmm. I don't have that because I never developed anything really having to do with any kind of topographical features. I'm always like, I feel like I'm looking at my phone all the time. So I'm trying to, literally, I was on a training hike today, and where I live now is there's a little bit more hills and stuff. So not crazy, but a little bit more. So, and I'm just trying while I'm on my training hike to like visualize where I am and what it would look like on a map. You know what I mean?
Sure. No, that's great. And thinking about it, that's tough to practice, right? That's tough to, like, I'm going through a thing right now with myself and kind of my hunting journey of hunting and everything, done it, grown up with it all my life, done it forever and ever and ever. But I think it's getting back to like the woodsmanship of things, like getting back to the building a fire with minimal stuff, with hardly anything, like the just finding sign and reading that sign. Like, It's I was talking with Matt Elliott, really good friend of mine here, this last year, and he's like, it's amazing because he grew up, he didn't grow up in the hunting scene. He got into it real late, and he said it's amazing going out with you and watching the way you're reading where we're walking just on what you're seeing, because we're hunting bears in the road, you know, looking for grass, looking for all these different things that bears like and everything. And so it's stuff that I think certain people do, they just don't really realize they're doing it. And I think it's a huge teaching tool that we could have with people as far as saying, okay, this is what I'm looking for at this point. You know, a track that's this deep, or it just rained last night, right? So everything's going to look fresh. So if you see a print, it's probably today's print. You know, all these little tiny pieces of the puzzle that you can put together in order to make a successful hunt. And that's what it's just encouraging to me, like listening to you, like saying, oh yeah. And it's cool nowadays, man. You've got Onyx, you've got all these hunt maps,
I
you've
know.
got, I mean, it's right there at the tip of our fingers, and it's just
Yeah.
like, whereas like even,
If you do it smart and like take
yeah.
advantage of the resources that are out there, you can definitely do it. And just manage your expectations, you know? And the other piece of the puzzle is too, I mean, I was thinking this today, like you don't even have to go that far from your house. Like from where I am right now in Virginia, I could drive about an hour and a half and get into some public, pretty rugged, pretty beautiful Appalachian mountains. So like even, you know, if you're just right in your backyard, there's opportunities to go out and have a adventure. You just gotta do it.
No, and that's what I tell everybody too. Like, if you're going to come out west and backpack in and bivvy for 5 days, go do it somewhere for
Yes.
one day or whatever. Just go
Call it a
and go
gear
hike.
test if you want.
No, it's a great thing to just like, and it'll get you pumped up for doing whatever, you know, you'll get excited about it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I did
Definitely.
that for sure. So yeah, man. What have you been up to? You've been bear hunting a lot, I guess?
Doing a lot of bear hunting right now, yeah. So spring bear, it's kind of become a thing, honestly, over the last 10 years, I would say. Like it's a big, like a main staple in Oregon now. And so doing a lot of it, a lot of taking a lot of kids. This last weekend we killed two kids, killed their first bears ever. So it was really pretty rad. So
Okay.
yeah, I enjoy taking kids. I mean, I enjoy hunting myself too,
You
but I
guys
like,
killing some bears?
oh yeah. Yeah. But
Do you
last
shoot?
year,
What do you shoot at bears? What's your what do you or what do you like to shoot just in
right
general?
now, so Sig, I have a partner of Sig Sauer, and they just came out with a 300 Win Mag Cross,
Oh,
and
nice, dude. Yeah, I love 300 Win Mag.
yeah, it's super
That's what I
versatile,
shoot.
easy to find ammo for, and
Exactly. And it
but they
slaps.
also, yeah, but they had a prototype 7mm PRC too that I shot
Ooh.
this last weekend, so that really
The
slaps.
new fancy rounds are really cool, but yeah, there's still a part of me that loves that, like, you know, you land somewhere or you drive somewhere, something happens, you can pretty good chance go to like some kind of ammo or gun store and like dig up a box of 300 Win Mag. Like no matter what. Almost
You're
no
not
matter
wrong.
what.
You're not wrong.
There's something I just like about that. But yeah, so I'm shooting a new actually Weatherby Range XP, and this one's in 300 Win Mag. And then I'm about to get a new Weatherby that's not out yet. It's supposed to release in like I think 7 days, but I don't even know anything about it. But it's going to be in 300 PRC. That's all I know. And I got two cases of Barnes 300 PRC over here that I'm looking forward to trying that round out. Have you
Dude,
tried that one?
I've been around it a little bit. That thing just hammers. I mean, it does. It does really well.
Nice, man.
Really well. Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going back to Oregon this fall actually
Sweet.
to do bear hunting, fall bear.
Okay.
What are the differences between spring and fall? Do you do any fall bear hunting?
I did this last year. I took Derek Wolf. Have you ever heard of
Oh
him? He
yeah.
was
Yeah, I've heard of him.
he played for the
He played in the NFL,
Broncos.
right?
Yeah, for 11 years. Super, super good dude. And hooked
He's
up
been
with
kind of
him.
trying to get into the outdoor space too, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I took him out this last fall. And I usually don't, just because I'm prepping for elk season so much in the fall, I don't really hunt bears.
Right.
But so we went out, and it's a totally different deal than the spring, man. It's you're hunting on blackberries all the time. You're hunting on thicker stuff, I would say. Like there's so many times where you're so close, you know, to a bear and you still can't see them. You know what I mean? It's so thick. And but whereas now it's just grass, a lot of fresh grass is what we're hunting on now. And so for the spring, so a little different. You got to change the tactics a little bit, but it's a lot of clear cut stuff, a lot of logging roads and stuff, because we have a lot of logging. That's what our big industry is out here, is timber.
Oh yeah.
So
That's how we deer hunted too. We were cruising the logging roads and hitting spots and glassing and
And you killed a giant, didn't you?
yes, I did.
Yes.
I taped him at 140
Yeah,
net.
that's
Or
amazing.
no,
That's
gross.
amazing. That's amazing, dude.
I'm gonna get him officially scored because I guess 135 is like all time for Boone and Crockett. But I took him to this guy to do a Euro because I just wanted to get it done right, and it still hasn't gotten it back to me, man. It's been like almost 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it a guy from around here or over there?
No, it's a local guy. I think he's probably just slammed full of whitetails and stuff. He's got one of my elk, dude. He's got my elk too. So I don't know. But anyway, side note. But yeah,
Side note.
shot a. I mean, so my friend Josh took us in there to one. It was one of his spots. And me and my videographer slash friend Luke Dusenberry both got nice ones, but yeah, mine was special, man. Oh, did you freeze? He froze.
Yeah, I
Sorry,
just,
you froze
yeah,
for a
no.
second.
You did for a second. Yeah,
Okay.
we're
Anyway,
back now.
we're back.
Yeah, well, just to make that, I've been hunting blacktail all of my life and never killed one that
Dude,
big. Ever,
God hooked me up on that one. He just put that deer right there.
just here you go, buddy.
That was all
I
God. Yep. And
love
Josh. Shout out
it.
Josh.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, we were so stoked, man. It was like perfect, like Oregon type scenario. Like we saw him and then we had to drop down probably 1,000 feet and then work around. Luke wanted to go all the way in the bottom and go up one of the finger ridges and try to shoot across after him, but I just wasn't confident we would find him again. He was with a doe and she was all over the place, and so I was like, let's just keep our elevation and go as far as we can on this finger and see if we get a clear spot and shoot across. And we did. I found like a little clear spot. It was a long shot, and I had to shoot more than once,
How far are we
but
talking?
567.
Ooh, hoo, 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 hoo.
In pretty pouring rain,
Ooh.
cross canyon,
Good job.
and I was like, okay, I was on a slope about like this, sitting down with a trekking pole on the side of my pack under my
What?
rifle.
Oh
Yeah,
boy. A little bit Western. A little bit Western.
yeah. So God helped me out on that one too. But anyway,
Yeah,
I can't wait to
that's.
share that one. That one's gonna be cool.
Yeah, when's that come out?
So this is actually exciting. Haven't really like announced this or anything yet, but I'm working with Leupold on that and a couple other partners, and Luke is gonna do an edit of that that's gonna air on the Leupold YouTube channel. I don't know exactly when they're gonna release it, but then I'm also doing like a television edit, which will go on season two of my show as well. But
Okay.
probably that Leupold one will probably come out first, probably.
And
So,
your television show doesn't have a problem with that kind of stuff?
we can talk a little bit more off air, but
I was just checking. I just knew. So we did a television stint, and they were like, "Nope, you can't." Like when you
yeah,
release these hunts on here, and I'm like, "Oh," but if it's different edits, that might not be bad.
it's being edited by a completely different human.
Yeah,
So,
you're
I
good.
mean, and so I don't want to say, well, let's talk off air, but I'm not doing anything wrong. Like I have talked to my people at the network, so we're straight. Yeah. But I think also they're relaxing in some ways a little bit on some of that stuff because they're realizing that that's just the way it is, and I think they're gonna lose producers if they, hamstring you too much.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, yeah, we did a stint with TV. Man, it's been years and years and years ago now.
Which channel?
It was the Sportsman's Channel.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm on.
Yeah, so anyway, but it's been so many years since we did it, and I'm sure things have changed a lot and everything since then. But yeah,
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, we're getting really behind the curtain here, so, but
That's what these
hey, why not, dude?
podcasts are for.
I'm definitely gonna do a season two on
Okay.
Sportsman.
Sweet.
That's already like almost done. But I'm gonna reassess because I think this year things could be different for me this time next year, and so I just don't know. I'm thinking about just kind of going all, or at least focusing a lot more of my time on just more digital.
Love that. I love
But
that.
I don't know. It's still a viable market, I think. And part of the reason I wanted to do it was because it was, I think it created some instant legitimacy, and I didn't have much of a social or YouTube following. I'm slowly building that now, but so I don't know. I think it's been
Yeah.
good. I'm glad I've done it. I'm gonna reassess after season two.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you ever need any help with any of that, let me know, man. Let me know. I
Yeah,
would
I appreciate
love
that,
to.
man.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah. No, that's it. It's cool. And I think for everybody listening too, it's pretty, if you have that dream of doing something like you just said, you went in first with the television side just to kind of get legitimacy of what you're doing, and then molding different things and doing different directions. Dude, that's so awesome. That's just
I
awesome.
appreciate it, man. Well,
So
I'm blessed to be able to do what I'm doing, and but yeah, tell me a little bit about Born and Raised Man, because I was thinking it's interesting. I've been like completely immersed, like kind of in this space for the last like 4 years, but like still, a relatively new outsider. Like my only exposure to Western hunting growing up was like ESPN Outdoors, and like I knew who Jim Shockey was, and so, but my world was whitetail stuff. So I
yeah.
didn't, a lot of people probably have quote unquote grown up watching you guys, or at least, for a long, how long have you guys been going?
Well, we started in 2007, so
Okay, yeah. So, I mean,
a
a
while.
long time, but I'm kind of coming at it from a, I don't know a whole lot about your origins, I guess is what I'm getting at. So I'd love to hear kind of
Sure.
like that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah, no. 2007 started out. My brother took a school loan out and bought a camera.
Okay.
And so we were just all we all our goal was at that time was to produce DVDs and
Okay.
sell them at sportsman shows. So we would go to the sportsman shows and we would sell DVDs. Cody just taught himself how to edit at that point. He just out of the whim. And so we would go and just we would produce a DVD. And oh man, if I would have done YouTube back then, it would be a different story right now. But we were told even by people, hey, you should do YouTube. And we're like, no, that's just cat videos. Back
Hey,
then,
but
that
at
was
least you
just
jumped on it when you did.
we did. Yeah, we did. It was cool. But everything, God has a way, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah, and then we just did some DVDs and we got some traction on the Western United States because your only audience at that point is who you ever put the DVD in the hand of, And so we were at the local Cabela's. We had our DVDs there. We had, some at all the archery shops, all the mom and pop shops around and everything. And
Wow.
we just got a little following from that. And then we said, well, let's do the Sportsman's Channel. Let's try it. And we did. And it was a pretty good hit. But it was just tough to get lift because you got to get those slots where everybody's watching. And especially back then, this was like mainstay, like people were that's where you went, the
Right,
Outdoor Channel or the Sportsman's
that was
Channel.
it.
Yeah, that was it, man. And there was no social media or anything then. And so then when social media hit the scene, we have good friends. Their group is called Hushin.
Oh yeah,
And
I know Eric.
yeah, we have some, those are good guys. And anyway, we invited them out every year to go fishing. We take them steelhead fishing and stuff, and 1 year they're just like, dude, you guys got to do this. You got to make this leap, And it was scary. We all had regular jobs. We all had, things going on the day to day and everything. And so it just we came up with this plan called Land of the Free, and it was we just said we're gonna hunt every single day for a whole elk season straight in five different states, and we're gonna hunt with different influencers in every single state
Oh,
that we
cool.
go to. And that was our collaboration plan and everything. And then we're gonna come back and then we're gonna post a day by day video of every single day throughout that.
And what
So
year was
not
this?
this was 2017,
Okay.
2017. And so we said, okay, let's do
That's
it.
a great idea,
And
man. I love that.
so quit my job
What was your job?
I cut timber. I was a timber faller for 18 years.
So you are a legit lumberjack.
That's everybody out east. Everybody says, "Oh, you're a lumberjack then. You're a lumberjack."
You are a lumberjack. You are one of the Western like stereotype archetypes, not stereotype, archetypes.
That's why I'm trying to grow a beard. I'm trying to get this kind of fill in.
You gotta get a flannel, dude.
I
Come on.
know, I know, I know, I know. But yeah. So anyway, and we started that, and it was a oh man. Quit our jobs and went full time right just before that hunting season and went into it and made a plan and executed it really well, filmed it
Did
really
you
well.
raise funding before or just do it on a dream and a prayer and get funding after or both?
We did before. So we went to ATA. You've been to the Archery Trade Association, I'm
I haven't
sure.
been to that one.
Okay.
I did
Okay.
shot. I have to be very selective with which shows I go to because just I'm limited on time. So I usually do, I'm doing right now SHOT Show and Western Hunt Expo basically only.
Okay. Yeah. Which are great shows, great
Yeah.
shows. But back then it was like the ATA was the big, it's kind of really slowed down, honestly. I've heard it's kind of, I haven't been in quite a few years, but that's where all the sponsors were, right? So we went to all these sponsors, and a lot of them we'd been friends with before. And that's another thing for people listening too, is just like we went to First Light. We were First Light's very first sponsor back then. And anyway, and finally, we asked for money. You know, they'd always floated us a bunch of product and all this stuff, and paid us $500 or something here and there. And we're
Yeah.
like, "All right, we're quitting our jobs, going full time at this,
Yeah.
and we need this much money." And it was scary. It was scary as heck asking for money. And every single person said yes. Every single person. It was crazy. There was a
Nice,
few different
dude.
sponsors that said, "We've been waiting for you guys to ask us for this."
Okay.
So that was very interesting to me as far as just like, okay, people believed in us when we may or may not have believed in ourselves a little bit. And it was just an interesting time for us. And
So at that point, you decided after that season, you were not going to do any DVDs. You're going to do only online digital.
all online digital. So I
And
learned
that's
how
a
to
big
edit.
mental like jump,
Huge.
like from a physical product that you have and you can hold and you sell to kind of it's just out there, you know?
It's just out there, yeah. And what we did with our old DVDs is I learned how to edit at that time, and I cut them all up, cut all the hunts out of the DVDs, and put those on YouTube. So put those on our channel. So I
Oh,
mean,
nice.
everything was out there. Everything went digital at that point and free.
Yeah.
And we jumped into this project, and it was a huge undertaking, because
So,
you get
were
off
you in
that.
that first? Sorry to keep interrupting your
No, you're
questions.
fine.
In that first season, were you where you wanted to be financially, or was it kind of, oh, we'll break even this year and then next year kind of that grow it kind of deal? Or were you like, pretty much good financially in that first year.
I took a $20,000 pay cut that first
Okay,
year
yeah.
to chase a dream is what I
For
did,
sure.
and it was very tough, very,
Did you have
very
kids, a
tough for,
family at that point?
yep, two kids, young little kids, and wife, and a mortgage. Bought a house, just and bought a, I mean, all
Okay,
these
so tell
things.
me, explaining this to your wife, how'd that conversation go?
Yeah, you try telling, as being a timber faller or lumberjack, as you say, you just try going to the wife and you just tell her, "Hey, honey, we're gonna do YouTube from here on out." And it's like she's always believed in the whole thing the whole time, and she's been a huge, huge pillar for me to lean on. And
That's awesome, man.
she was just like, "Do it. Let's see what happens here, and let's go for it."
That's
And
great.
the other thing was, and there was times that I was really close to going back. I could always go back to what I was doing. You know what I mean? I could
Yeah.
always. There was always that. I still get calls to this day almost of people needing people, so to cut trees down. So I mean, that wasn't a very scary thing, but the idea of failure was definitely scary,
Absolutely.
but did that. And anyway, we launched the first, because we came back, we took 1 week off. Is all we took with the families, and then it's every single day, because there's no Saturday, Sunday, there's no nothing. It's every day you're editing a video every day to put up that day. And
Oh,
it
wow.
just yeah every day, every single day. So
Wait, so you go out hunting and then edit it after you get back to camp and then upload it, basically?
no, we hunted all those days and filmed all of it, and
And then
then got
when
back,
you're
took one
done, you're
week
just doing
off,
one a day. Yeah, okay.
and then it's
Sorry, I was
editing all
cracking.
that stuff. No, so Yeah, so huge undertaking, and I mean, you're going through Thanksgiving. You don't have any of those days. You're editing, and
Yep.
you're all of it. And so, but it just was crazy. It just catapulted us. It caught on like wildfire, and we were gaining thousands of followers a day. It was stupid,
Oh, wow.
and we didn't get a real chance to like look at what we were doing because we were working so much. We had no idea, you know, it's just a number, these followers that keep coming and everything. And anyway, and we're almost broke. We're almost out of money, and we're gonna have to go back to our regular jobs and do all that. Anyway, talked to a mentor kind of guy of ours that was in our office at the time, and he's just like, "Why are you guys not selling any merch or anything?" And at the time, we didn't have any money to sell any merch or anything like that. And so he goes, don't have it even for sale. Just do it for back order. Just see what the support you're going to get is." And we were okay. So that was another thing we had to do. And we made up these shirts and we just put them out online. And we're like, "Hey guys, support us if you will. It would be awesome if you guys, could just throw us a little bit." And it was stupid. And in like 2 days, it was a huge, huge response.
Oh, wow,
And
dude.
yeah, it was crazy. But then we got to make the shirts, So
It's always
then
something.
we had to, oh yeah. So then we got to find out, okay, how do we get shirts? How do we do this? How do we ship? How do we all these things? And so anyway, so that's kind of the way it started. And then the next year we did it one more time. And did a day by day series again, and I said I'll never do that again.
Yeah, that's a
So
lot, man.
it was a lot. So,
That is a lot.
but then from then on, we were able to hire videographers because we'd filmed it all ourselves. It was all self-filmed back then, and now we have two videographer guys and editors and stuff. And so I don't have to edit anymore. I can just focus on business stuff and everything. And then now we have our own call company as well. So we do.
Oh, nice.
So we have our own elk calls and game bags and all these things, and it's just been just kind of this snowball effect, So it's been really blessed, really blessed.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I was talking to somebody else, Bo Martonic, on his podcast yesterday, and it's so cool and amazing to do what we do, and it's a fun, awesome life, but it is also a lot of work. Especially starting off on your own. But anyway, it's
Especially the one man band like you're doing and everything, it's super commemorative. I mean, dude, I'd commend the heck out of you because it is so hard. It
It
is so
is.
hard.
And you got to
And
be everything to everybody. And
yeah.
I'm unfortunately, I'm starting to run into bandwidth issues, though. I mean, like, I got three kids, I got stuff going on, life, and, between like planning hunts, doing hunts, staying physically fit, all the editing, I'm starting to, and it's like, where do I focus? So, I'm starting to already look at different people helping me edit because that would just be amazing. But it's hard too, because I don't want to let go of that, because that's like my creative outlet in some ways too. And so
It's tough, man.
it's hard
It's
to let
very
go of
tough because
that.
when you're not editing it yourself, you're sometimes feeling like it's dying a little bit, if that makes any sense. It's that
Yeah.
whole, you put a spin on it because you were there. You want to show this. You want to show this
Yeah.
emotion that you had at the time. Whereas the guy that is maybe editing it now wasn't even there. He's just out, he's just trying to get the feel towards it.
Yeah.
It's super tough, man. You
Yeah.
do.
Although sorry to cut you off, man. I will
Oh.
say I had a young guy I know that I just met from Instagram edit a version. I met him at the expo. He helped me out with something. And I had him edit it for me just to see what he would do. I just gave him a hard drive and was like, just go for it for a YouTube version, right? That I could post kind of whenever. And he came back to me and it was like good, man. Like it
Sweet.
was, and the other thing is too, is I don't know if you, I try to be as authentic as possible, but at the same time, you have a personal bias. You're going to try to like make yourself look good usually. When someone else is editing, they don't have that. They have a totally different perspective on it. So his came out much more like vlog style. Like I think it'll translate more to you. Like there's just a lot more stuff of me saying dumb stuff, but I just left it in there, So I don't know. It's kind of cool seeing
Yeah,
what
that's
someone
really,
else does
really
with your
cool.
stuff, you know?
Yeah. It's everybody gets inspired different, and it's cool. That's why we're So individuals, right?
Yeah. So what do you guys
Absolutely.
got on the docket for this year, man?
Yeah, this year I'm doing moose. It's
No
been a
way, where?
dream. Yeah, Alaska.
Nice.
So it's been a dream of Trevor's and Steve's to do moose like forever. And so I said, well, I reached out to Sig and asked them, hey, would you sponsor us to do a moose hunt? Because it's not cheap. I learned that real
Oh yeah.
quick. And they're like, absolutely. So anyway, so we're gonna go up there and try to kill three moose in 2 weeks
Wow.
and pack them ourselves. This is the plan.
That's a lot of meat, bro.
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. Everybody looks at me that has actually hunted moose and they're like, that's not smart, man. That is
Yeah.
not smart. So anyway,
Haven't
it's gonna
hunted
be an
moose, but I
adventure.
know that's a lot of meat.
Yeah.
What general part of Alaska and
It's
time of year?
out of Bethel. So that's the tough part about it is we've always used September as just all elk hunting archery, you know, and this is the one thing it's going to be like, it's going to be right in the middle of archery elk season. And it is what it is, you know, to do a dream hunt, you got
Just
to,
like mid-September or something.
It's like the 7th through the 21st or something
Okay,
like
I'm
that.
gonna be up there that time frame too, but going for caribou. But that's a cool time to be in Alaska because it's starting to change over to fall, and it's starting to get really like, you know, the animals are hard-horned. So it'll be cool, man. That's awesome.
I
Are you
need to
guys
carry
bow
boot.
hunting or sorry?
Well, I'm going to bring a bow, yeah, and we're going to have guns and bows, so
Yeah.
just to see what happens, you know, for trying to get our success rate as high as we can.
For
So,
sure.
I did the caribou thing last year. I took my daughter up there. It was
Okay.
rad. It was
Yeah, where'd
awesome.
you guys go?
We went clear up north out of Prudhoe Bay.
I did the same thing.
Okay, yeah, and I had a boat take us. I said, take us as far as we can. So we went
You went with
62.
Hook, didn't you?
Yeah.
Hook took me up too.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Great dude. So
Where'd
yeah,
you guys go?
we went 62 miles up, clear to
Okay.
the there's this old shack up there, this old cabin. It's an old I think it's an old fish and wildlife cabin. Anyway, and we stayed in that cabin
Yeah, I
and
remember that. We went past that, but yeah, I remember that.
oh, did you guys go up even further?
Yeah, we went all the way as far as he could go till the mountains started, basically,
Yeah.
and we're on the Anwar right up there.
Dude, was it awesome?
It was one of the coolest things of my life.
Sweet,
We saw
sweet.
wolves. We saw like wolves chasing giant caribou. We saw a huge muskox, grizzlies, moose. And we both killed bulls, not like giants. My buddy's was like kind of small. Mine was a mature bull, but not like a giant, but like good frame, good mass, just like
Sure.
pretty small tops. I was stoked with him. I got him right over here, but,
Yeah.
awesome hunt. And then we floated out on pack rafts. It took us 2 days to float out, two like 10, 8, 10 hour days of floating.
Yeah, because that's a jaunt. That's a
Yeah.
jaunt. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah. It was we had a tough time. It took us like 3 days to see a caribou.
Yeah.
So it was but we did see the grizzlies and muskox by it was and caught fish and did all that. It was so fun.
Yeah, man.
Wolf, that was my bucket list thing was wolf. I sat on those carcasses for a while and never saw one.
Yeah. I guess maybe they just like killing better than eating scraps. I don't know.
Probably. I saw a lot of birds.
Yeah. I never saw one, you know, sit still for more than like 2 seconds, but I did catch glimpses, you know. I saw one white one.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, he
That would be
was
cool.
completely white. I saw him twice, actually. But
No
yeah,
shots at
man.
wolves, though.
No, I didn't get any shots. Like, it was literally like, oh, there's a wolf. Oh, he's gone.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
it's the way they usually are, I guess.
Hey, guys, I want to talk to you really quick about one of my favorite partners, which is BlackOvis.com. And I've been using BlackOvis since way before I had a TV show or a podcast or any of that stuff. They're kind of your one-stop shop for anything you need as far as solid hunting gear. You know, they got camping stuff, they got crispy boots, seek outside shelters, loophole optics, tons of other great brands. And they also have their own in-house brand, which is pretty good stuff. They got some really good merinos and some puffies that I've worn before, and they're at a great price point. So, you know, the other thing I love about Black Ovis is their custom aero shop. A lot of people don't know this, but you can send in your exact specifications for your specific type of aero, your length, your fletchings, your inserts, field tips, all that stuff. And Black Ovis will custom make your arrows and send them straight to your door. It's a really cool deal, guys. So go over there to blackovis.com, check out everything they got over there. And when you do, use the promo code QUEST and you will save and you'll help support the show. So go to blackovis.com, use that code QUEST, and get some solid hunting gear. Well, that's
No,
cool, man.
yeah, that'll be cool. You're gonna go back.
I am gonna go back, but I'm not going with hook in again though. I'm thinking I think I might want to. So I basically rented a truck out of Fairbanks, and the reason I was gonna try to fly in with somebody, but I couldn't find anybody that had space for the next like 3 years or something. Anyway, anybody that I felt like had a good, you know, reputation, because you don't want to fly with the wrong people, and so you got to be careful who you fly with. Because you're entrusting your hunt to this person, and they will make it or break it, and you have no control. So I'm liking the idea better of I got a truck rented out of Fairbanks, and I'm just going to drive almost all the way back up to Prudhoe and road hunt. And then if I don't see anything, I'll take a bow and a rifle. If I don't see anything on the way up, you know, worth going after, or I, you know, blow too many stalks with my bow. I have a spot up there that a few locals have showed me that is traditionally a spot that they move through, and I will probably like try to pack and spike off for, you know, 3 4 nights or something, you know, off into the rifle zone 5 miles off and hunt like that. But we'll see.
By you taking someone with you?
Yeah, I always go with at least a cameraman. Might have a third, not sure. Right now, it's just me and a cameraman, basically.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of those pickups and everything, because a lot of people do that because you see them along the like U-Haul pickups and stuff like that, and
Oh yeah.
they just get beat, just get beat
Yeah.
up,
I
those
rented like
trucks
an
that.
F-250 or something.
Oh,
So
did
should
you?
be a little better. The first time I went up there, we were in a U-Haul. And but hey, it worked. We had a little van. We liked it.
Heck yeah.
It
No,
was
that's
way
the way to
cheaper.
go.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, that's awesome. You guys are gonna have a blast. That'll be fun.
Yeah, man. So your moose hunt, are you guys flying in or how you doing that?
Yes, flying in, that's the big cost of it, man, is
Yeah.
float planes and stuff. And just like you said, reputable, you know, somebody reputable. And so we're going with this outfitter called Papa Bear,
Okay.
and they're super reputable, I guess. Lots of They've done it for years and years, and it's self-guided, so all they're doing is dropping you off. But
Just a
they have
transporter.
correct, yeah. And but they already know the zones, you know. They're like, hey, this will be good, you know, there's a lot of moose in this zone. And so they know where they're going. So, and two, it's neat because when you kill one, they want you to contact them immediately via satellite text, you know, and they'll come get it the very next day. So it goes right on cooler, right on the ice. And so,
Nice.
which is nice, super
And you're gonna ship
nice.
the meat back home?
That's the plan. Have it done there. They have a processing facility there. Have it processed there, and then ship it is our plan.
So, you know, it's an added cost, but I think it's so worth it, man. It's so worth it. Like I will pay a few extra $100 to, you know, because I mean that's so much good meat, and like, yeah, I just really love all year enjoying the meat with my family, you know, that I harvested, and a moose is like so much meat,
So much, so much.
so
And
it's gonna
three
hurt in
moose.
the wallet when you go get that shipping bill, but just remember all the meals.
Yes, exactly. And then you can share it with family too and stuff, you know, so
Exactly.
and friends.
Yeah, man.
So,
So how did I believe you're a man of faith. Right? Yeah, I knew you were. So yeah, man, talk about just a little bit about how your faith, I mean, helped you, because especially in that moment when you quit your full-time job, because you know, to do any entrepreneurial venture doesn't have to be hunting at all, but like just anything, it does at some point you're gonna have to do that like little leap of faith kind of deal, right? And so I'm a firm believer that like you know, it says in the Bible to once you ask the Lord for something, you know, expect that like it's yours, like you got it, you know. And that played a big role for me. Just like even to like going down to like your mental just feelings about it and your positivity, like I think it all adds up to your success and just having faith that you're gonna pull through. I mean, how's your faith, I guess, been a part of your journey?
It's strange, not strange, but it's, I think it's humanly, it just seems like during big things, you know, you really lean on God. I would say, like, it's and what I've been trying to do more and more, honestly, is lean on him all the time, right? Not just when the chips are pushed in and you're like, this is a do or die situation, you know. And so that's been my goal as of just in the more recent, is to just be like, I think as humans, I think we, once we get that prayer answered, or once we get what we're doing and everything, we move to the next thing, you know, instead of praising God for the things like, he got me this, he got me to this spot where I'm
For
at, or
sure.
whatever it may be. And man, and I've been trying to lean on that a lot more lately, as far as just like, okay, thank you, Lord, for everything, all the blessings you've given me, all the relationships that you've given me, and all this and everything. But at the same time, not just going to the next thing, right? And just being like, but you can help me with this too, you know what I mean? So I think it's important, and it says in the Bible, you know, praise God for all he does. And I think we forget about that a lot. And that's what I honestly have been focused on. I don't know if that answers your question as
No,
far
no.
as the faith side of things. I grew up in the church. I was a Seventh-day Adventist, actually,
Okay.
back in the and still have ties in the church and everything too. Went to Christian school for first 7 grades of my life, and then I really wanted to play sports really bad, so I had to go to the public school, which was great. Good background there and everything. But yeah, no, faith has always been, it's always been kind of a part of what we're doing, and what I've been doing with our platform too.
Yeah.
So I don't preach as much, but I do like pray, you know, before hunts and stuff
Yeah,
like that.
for sure, man. Yeah.
So
And you know, faith, I feel like may have played into, I mean, that took a lot of wisdom and foresight also, to see this kind of new, I mean, this new thing like YouTube, digital, whatever, kind of, you know, social media coming on the scene. And having the courage and the wisdom to jump on it instead of just continuing to resist, you know, is like playing dividends now, and you know what you guys are doing, and the great following you have and stuff.
it's tough, man, though. It's still really, really tough. What I struggle with, I'll just be honest with you, is what I struggle with is just the social media aspect of, yes, it's a great platform, it's awesome, but it just also, it can be so negative too. It can
Oh, for
have
sure.
such a bad realm too. And so there's definitely a struggle there, I would say, of just like, you know, I think you can be addicted to your phones, and I think you can these all these things, and it just comes with so many connotations. But it's just like, you gotta keep on just like, okay, we're doing this for good. You know, what message do I want to put out there?
Yeah, for
What
sure.
do I want to try to inspire somebody, you know, to do? And so it's a man, it's a definitely a balance.
No, well said, because I find myself like needing to and being almost feeling pressure to do like, you know, reels and short form stuff and blah, 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 and get all wrapped up in that. But truly what I really love is like a long format, you know, at least 15 minutes to 30 minutes of like a true, like documented hunt, you know, or a hunt story or whatever it is. So I like that. And I think you can have something meaningful, not that you can't have something meaningful to say in shorter form content, but that's why I like the longer form stuff. And what I've been thinking about a ton lately, as far as that goes, is like, I feel like we need to do the best job possible as content creators, not only to make content that hunters and our hardcores will love in our audience, but also make stuff that can kind of get into that 80% of folks in the middle who don't hunt but aren't necessarily against hunting, and just represent ourselves for what we truly are, you know, like conservationists, naturalists, people of faith, you know, not just idiots or like killers, you know. I mean, there is that side of it, but not the idiot side, but the killer part. But you know what I'm getting at, like that there's more to us, and like represent. Like I did a podcast with Jim Shockey the other day, which was amazing. You got to talk to that guy, but he's done such a great job of just representing hunting well in the public square. And so, you know, I think YouTube is a good opportunity to do some of that, but also make some really killer hunting content for other hunters, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. And I think you need to figure out your lane. I think, as far as the word trophy hunter comes up all the time, right? Like, oh, you're just out there trying to just, bloodthirsty. You have to kill a giant animal and everything. And I think there's a stigma there that you get into squash as quick as you can. It's
Yeah,
like,
I mean, taking the largest, oldest male out of the population makes good sense biologically anyway. So,
correct,
yeah.
correct. But people, that can be viewed a lot of different ways, right? So it's just trying to go about that and trying to actually just bring the most positive light on that kind of stuff as we can. And I think it's important for us to talk about these things. We need to talk about this, conservation. We need to talk about, what's going on, and even, faith, all that stuff. I think if you mention it, it's kind of, maybe taboo every once in a while, but it's just at least it opens up that conversation for people.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah.
So I love it, man. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about conservation lately too. I think that's really that's our inroad as hunters into, you know, people who love nature. Maybe they don't hunt or never were exposed to it, but you know, maybe they wouldn't do it necessarily, but they're okay. Or some of them you might inspire to try it. You know, there's always those too. So I've just been thinking a lot about that, and because I think that ultimately is what will allow us to, you know, hopefully continue to be able to hunt and enjoy wild places forever and for our kids and until Jesus comes back or whatever.
And that's where it's like, if you think about, I think it's easy to get caught up in just the day to day. Hey, what's your planning for your hunts? And like you're saying, you're so busy, so busy. But look at 10 years back. Just look at 10 years ago, how much different it was 10 years ago than it is right now. And how many places have been shut down, and how many places, I mean, it's just
Overrun
been
by
nuts.
wolves or something, you know?
Yep. And it's like, what's 10 years going to look like from now? Like, is my kids going to have a future in hunting? Are there, is there, is that a real thing? So I think that's very smart for us to really like break that down individually and see where we stand on all that. Because I have a very tough time on my platform. I'll be just totally honest with you. Like just bearing arms with, gonna cut out there for a second.
You did cut out for a
Oh,
second.
can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, I have a tough time. I have a tough time with just picking up arms with any of these conservation groups and just being like, I'm following this until, I believe in everything they say and everything, because there's certain things that some of these groups say that I don't
Oh
necessarily
yeah, they get a
agree with.
ton of leak of like woke
Yeah.
politics from the
Yeah.
like federal land agencies and stuff. They kind of
Correct.
have to, in some ways, like walk that line, especially with the liberal, you know, president right now.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm glad I can just let them do that stuff. And
Yeah.
I know we still need them. Like I went to a Ducks Unlimited banquet the other night in D.C. here,
Okay.
and you know, same kind of thing. I mean, different, you know, part of the country, but there's some of that stuff that leaks in, you know. But ultimately, they are saving a lot of stuff. And I mean, we. You know, like you said, as hunters, we want to enjoy the future of it. And also, like, I genuinely care about the animals and the places that we go into, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
No, it's a fine line. I think it's a fine line. It's like, what's the song say? If you don't stand up for something, you're gonna fall for anything.
And I mean, dude, like the amount of public land we have out west and our ability to do what we do on it is so unique and rare in the world.
Yeah.
We
Oh yeah.
need to protect it. So anyway, that's my soapbox. I'm off
I love it. I love it. No,
it.
it's so true. It's so true. So.
Okay, man. We're coming close to time, but I don't know what if you were. What's your advice for a guy like me, kind of like, you know, starting out in this space and hoping to make a, you know, make a way for myself and make a living and just live the kind of life I want to live.
So I talked to a guy the other day, really interesting. He he was trying to get a loan for this restaurant that he was trying to open up. And anyway, just talking to him, and he said no banks would loan him the money. Nobody would. It was just it didn't pencil out to a bank's note, you know, and everything. And so he started going, and this guy's a well-connected dude. I mean, he knows a lot of people, and he said, I didn't realize that I had such an advantage by the relationships that I've made over the years. And that stuck with me as far as like, this guy knew everybody all over the place, all over town, all over, you know, in big city stuff and everything. And so he went to these investors and started pitching to them and everything. Long story short, he finally got the money, and he's doing great now with the business and everything. But it stuck with me as far as like, and that would be my advice to you, is just like those relationships that you've built with all those people, even like you mentioned Jim Shockey or whatever it may be, those things, there's a spark there. There's always something there with each one of these people that you talk to or that you converse with or whatever, or fellowship with. And it's amazing how we can lean on each other all the time and grow from it. And that would be my biggest thing probably, is just the relationships that you built are super important. And it's pretty amazing, as far as when you look back at it, you know, and you're just like, wow, I just went hunting with Derek Wolf, or I you know what I mean, and all those
Totally.
things. And I'm not saying those are guys you could call for favors all the time, but at the same time, it's just like you are that guy to them. You gotta think that at times, like you are that guy. And it's really empowering, I think, to think that way. And that would be my advice, I guess.
That's great advice, man. Yeah, I mean, that's why I think the podcast was so and is so cool for me, is just because, like I said, I'm not around a whole bunch of people who are like, going archery elk hunting on the reg and stuff like that. So, or whatever it may be, or in the Western hunting kind of space. So, but I kind of just by doing 1 hour podcasts, built like relationships and made some friends and then said yes to a few things when I was given opportunities and just
Doors
always
have
try to
opened.
learn and what's that? Yeah. Try to learn and
Doors have
work hard and
opened.
be humble and just be kind and just
Yes.
go for it, And so, it's been an awesome ride and it's been great talking to you as well, man.
Hey, I appreciate that. What's your next big just season coming up and everything, and just
Yeah.
grinding it
So
out and doing TV for the next big thing?
I'm really, well, I am grinding it out. I literally have like a handmade spreadsheet right here of all my episodes and all the editing crap I got to do. But I'm getting close. I want to finish all those before the first week of June. In June, I'm super excited. My buddy Pedro from Spain invited me to go hunt with him over there. So I can't wait for that, man. And then my season starts in August in Oregon.
So you're just jumping right into it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
110%, man.
I love it. I love it. How's the family and everything with all this?
Good, man. So believe it or not, I'm able to, I do travel a fair amount. It is kind of like bang, 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 as you know, like in all kind of one time. But as long as I'm like really open, I mean, it definitely took some convincing with the wife, but she's seeing it actually start to like work and like, oh, like checks are coming in and stuff like that. And she sees the light at the end of the tunnel like I do. When I am home, I'm like I really like basically try to get an entire work day done between the hours of like 9:30 a.m. and like 2:30 p.m. And then other than that, I'm like completely all with them, because that's when the kids are at school. So, and I pick them up from school, I take them to school, I get them ready for school. So I'm like trying to be as completely involved as I can. I go to all their school events, all the birthday parties, everything while I'm here. But then that time of year, I got to go in go mode. Also, my mother-in-law lives with us, which has been a huge blessing because she helps my wife a lot. And my wife has been super cool, supportive, amazing. Shout out to her. Love her. She's the
Absolutely.
best.
All the wives, all the wives.
Yeah. And yeah, being supportive. And so they're good, man. I mean, it's not always easy, leaving kids and stuff, and the kids are still small. They're kind of used to it at this point a little bit, I think, though. So.
Mine got very used to it, to where it's just like, yeah, Dad's gonna be gone a month here, and that's just what it is. And then,
Yeah. It's like,
but
okay, bye, Dad.
you make a great point though, is when you're home, be present. Be present when you're there. That's super important, I think,
Like
too.
N November, in between trips when I'm home, I'd love to go sit and try to kill a whitetail or something, but like when I can't do it, I just gotta be home
Focus
when I'm home.
to the spreadsheet. Focus on
Yes.
the
Work on rough cuts. Da 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 da.
spreadsheet.
All
Well,
right,
cool,
man.
man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, talk soon.
Okay, sounds good.